In your Bibles to Ephesians again, and chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and for at least a couple weeks now, we have been looking at verses 25 through 29. Preceding that, we're looking at the wife and her marriage and her relationship to her husband. It's supposed to be that one of deferring to him, deferring to his leadership, to his wishes and his desires. Verse 25, we read, "Husbands, love your wives." Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and how did Christ love the church? He gave himself for it. So the husbands loving their wives is to be manifest in him giving himself for his wife. That he might, this is Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now last week we said, Christ loved the church. That is his church, as is noted by kind. Each local church he loves. Each local church he gave himself for. They are his. They are his body. Not one universal conglomeration, but each local individual assembly. He gave himself for it. Husbands, love your local, visible wife. You have one wife. She's local and she's visible. And you're to love her. How are you to love her? Just as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it. We said also that Christ had a stated purpose in giving himself for her. This that flowed from this love, and that is to sanctify it, to make it holy, to have it set apart holy unto Himself. Well, that is stated here in our text that it was to cleanse it by the washing of water by the Word. Looked at some scriptures that give that indication that the Word is what washes. The Word is what cleanses a child of God. It is the Word that with the Holy Spirit uses to change one who is dead in trespasses and sins and transform him from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Husbands who love their wife as Christ loved his bride, sanctify it. Sanctify her. Cleanse her. That is a husband who loves his head, Christ, as he ought to, loves his wife as he ought to. He is concerned about satisfying and pleasing his head. And he immerses himself in the Word. He's sanctified by the Word. He's cleansed by the Word. And as he is head of the wife, and she is following his leading, his leadership, she is submitting, she is yielding to that, because he's leading her in holy paths and right paths. Sanctifies her as well as her children. And we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 12 through 14 as an example of that sanctifying power of the husband and of a saved wife who has an unsaved husband, as she is striving to please the Lord. She submits to her unsaved husband in things wherein she can submit to him and thereby sanctifies her husband and her children as well. Today we begin to look at verse 27. It says, after stating that he sanctified, cleanses it with the washing of water by the Word, and the purpose of that is that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It is his purpose is for presentation, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, a glorious bride. Husbands who really love their wives, and especially husbands who love their wives as Christ loved the church, they delight in showing her off. She is his. She is his wife, and he loves her. Shall we hate to use the word, but she's his pride and joy, so to speak. next to the Lord Jesus Christ. But she's right there behind his love and his care for the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse tells us that one day Christ is going to present to himself a glorious bride. The word present is a little different meaning than what we would understand of present, but not so different when you think of it. The word present here is, it means to bring her alongside of him. Place her beside of him for all to see. You have the vision of the king sitting upon his throne, and he brings his bride, his queen, the queen of his life, alongside of him to sit there for all to see, for all to behold. What a display. And our verse says that it is to himself. He brings her, he places her beside of himself, a glorious bride. That is a bride that is held in great esteem. He holds her in great esteem. As I think about this thought, this relationship of Christ and the love that he has for his church, for his bride, I have to consider what kind of love, what kind of esteem do I have for my bride, for my wife. Is she something that is held in great esteem? And I would have to say yes. Although, because we are yet in this flesh, there are times when we don't behave ourselves as though she's very esteemed. Any time that I esteem myself above her, how am I esteeming her? But back to this thought of Christ going to present his bride, place her for presentation purposes beside of himself, a held in great esteem. Do we see anywhere in Scripture where this church is, his bride is so esteemed by him? Well, this is one passage of Scripture. I mean, he gave his life for her. Listen, certainly, if he gave his life for her, he held her in great esteem. But in thinking about that, I go back to the day that the Lord showed me a passage of Scripture. In the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 13. And if you know anything about the 13th chapter of Matthew, you know that it's one series of parables in the interpretations, and not all the parables does he necessarily give the interpretation, but through study we can glean it. And it says in verse 44, this 13th chapter, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. The which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Field is the world. And there was a treasure hid in that field. And Jesus found that treasure. He founded that treasure. He founded that treasure, and then he hid it there in that field, in the world. And then he went and he bought that field. He bought that field that he might especially obtain that treasure which he had founded and left there, hid there, for his purpose. He went and he bought that field. He went and gave his life for all the saved, for all that would be saved. They were precious to him, and so he gave his life. He bought them all, but in buying them all, his eye was upon a particular treasure that he had founded and left there in the midst of that world, that field which he had purchased. That is a bride, that is a church that was in great esteem by the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as our text calls it, a glorious church, a glorious bride. And it goes on to say in our verse, not only is he going to bring her beside himself for presentation purposes, a glorious church, and what is going to make her so glorious is that she's going to be what? She is going to be without spot. That is, there will be no fault. She will be without wrinkle. What's that word wrinkle mean? I guess we were just talking about it over lunch today, weren't we? What's that word wrinkle mean? Well, women, it is really important. And some men, it's really important. But the word really goes to a wrinkle, a crease, a fold, especially in the face. This church, this bride of his, is going to be without wrinkle. You see, women would call, as they get older and they develop those wrinkles, they would call it, that's an imperfection. They don't like it. It's just a fact of life. It's there, though. Nothing they can do about it. There's going to be no imperfections when Christ calls his bride to his side to be with him. There's going to be no wrinkles or any such thing. She's going to be holy without blemish. No blemishes whatsoever. Turn with me to The Book of Solomon. The Book of Solomon. In chapter 4. And Solomon, obviously, is the writer of this book. And Solomon, we would say, knew much about love because of his many wives. He better have known something about love, huh? We would say he's experienced it. We know, especially from the book of Ephesians and Paul's writing here, that the church was a mystery. The fact of the church, it was a mystery. It was concealed to the Old Testament saints. I don't know how much Solomon may have had insight into the church, but he talks in the book of the Song of Solomon, a relationship that pictures, that portrays Christ and his bride. So we're keeping that thought in mind. Look at 7 of the 4th chapter, where it says, "Thou art all fair, my love. Thou art fair. Thou art beautiful." Scripture talks about Sarah being fair. Talked about Rebecca being fair. That is, they were beautiful women. And they were so beautiful that their husband, Abraham and Isaac, were fearful of what a Gentile king might do if they knew that she was their wife. And so they said, "She's my sister," because they didn't want to die at the hand of the king so the king could get the wife. You see, one of the Lord had ways of revealing that to those kings and keeping them from defiling their wives. He said, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." As we think about what is said here, and that is a picture of Christ and his love for his bride. And we husbands are told that our love for our wife is to be just like the love that Christ had for and has for his church, for his bride. What do we think about our wives, husbands? Are they all fair? The only one who is fair, and there is no spot in her? That's the way we're to look at her. That's the way we're to think of our bride, just as Christ thinks of his bride. We are to also. Christ so loved his bride that he gave himself for her and is sanctifying her with the washing of water by the word. And one day, He, the Word, is going to place her inside of Himself, entire, complete, holy, nothing marring her beauty. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? And husbands, we're speaking to you husbands right now, to me. Just as Christ so cherishes his bride in the manner in which he cherishes her, we are too, to cherish our bride, our wife. You see, when we do that, it all begins with the husband. And when we husbands, when we love our wives in that manner, and we're manifesting to her, we love her in that manner, what wife that is not going to be like in your hand? They're just going to melt in your hand. They're willingly going to submit. They're not going to have a problem submitting to you, because you're loving them in a manner that it is beneficial for them to submit to you. Husbands who love the Lord Jesus Christ will give themselves for her. Now, where it's not frequent that a husband is called upon to give his literal life in death for his wife. However, that could be included in time. But at least he will give himself for her. His working, his being faithful, getting up, going to work, working every day, bringing home a provision, providing for her, and providing for her the love that she needs, the care that she needs, the tenderness that she needs, the understanding, compassion that she needs. will be there. That is giving ourselves for our wives on a day-to-day basis. And he will be this husband who loves his wife in this manner as Christ loved the church and gave himself. He will be immersing himself in the Word. The capital W, Word, the Word of God, which sanctifies and cleanses him, that he in turn might sanctify and cleanse his bride, his family. By leading them in godly ways. And godly examples. His whole characteristic, manner of life is one that is godly, and a godly characterized by a godly walk. And his bride is glorious to him. And so he places her beside himself. He enjoys being with her. He enjoys spending time with her. enjoys taking care of her, enjoys seeing to her needs, seeing that they are met. He counts it a privilege and a blessing to listen to her cares and her concerns and doing what he can to help her with them. Yes, she's a glorious bride. And how beautiful she is to him. We're going to stop there this afternoon. Next week we get into a section that's just as important. And I guess I could say that after 50 plus years of marriage, I've finally begun. You understand the word begun. I'm just beginning to understand these next two verses. You see, and we'll get into them next week, and they're glorious. They're glorious even as we think of the relationship of Christ and his bride, Christ and his church. And so we'll be looking next week, Lord willing, at verses 28 and 29. Shall we stand together, be dismissed in a word of prayer?